Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, welcome, welcome, peace, power, and love. Want to welcome all those who may be listening online. This is the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Missed bringing you the show Monday. I was actually getting out of the hospital, and I'll talk about that in a future show. But just glad to still be amongst my listeners and friends, family. Once again, welcome to The Big Picture. And if you are listening online, would like to be part of this discussion tonight, set up to do a two-hour show, but it depends on the productivity and the oh, I'm feeling actually. I'm sorry, people. Excuse me. But if you would like to call in and be part of this show, it's 914-205-5538. Again, that number is 914-205-5538. I'd like to welcome all my listeners from Nigeria, from Canada, from Germany, from the States, from any other parts of the country and the world that may be listening. I also would like to thank my Activate Radio, Activate Media family in Boston, Mass. And welcome you as well to the show, which will be broadcast on Friday. I also want to just put this out there again for any of you, my listeners on Activate Radio that would like to participate and be a part of particular show while it is being broadcast live. Feel free to call in. Normally it's Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern times, and this week, as I stated, there was just a small glitch in the programming on Monday that something was going on that just didn't allow it to happen on Monday. But here I am, nonetheless, ready to bring some opinionated views during this particular show. I'm sure everybody has heard by now about the verdict, and I said yesterday when the case went into deliberation, I said that they should have an answer before the end of the day today. Honestly, it was just such an open and shut case. I kind of agree and I kind of disagree with the sentence that the gentleman that was filming the incident, he squeaked away with not being convicted on two of the more damning charges. And also, I think that I speak for a lot of, well, I'm not going to say that. I speak for myself when I say congratulations to the, not really congratulations, but condolences. And yes, I guess congratulations to the family for getting a verdict of guilty for all three men, which means they'll all be going away in my my opinion is Travis McMichael should get the death penalty. The other two gentlemen should get the remainder of their lives in prison. And the district attorney should also have her day in court as well for the part that she played and helping to cover this up in the beginning. You know, it is upsetting that this even had to happen, you know, and then this is just another case, you know, that kind of I can reference back to, I think it was maybe a couple of shows ago when I actually broke these cases down and gave you my opinions on how I thought they were going to end up. And I will say I was wrong about this one because I really did not see a Georgia court and especially a Georgia jury that was as one-sided as that one was, but that just goes to point that not everybody is going to go along to get along. Some people actually will do the right thing. I'm glad that in this case, the jury did the right thing. It's really nothing to do cartwheels and backflips about. It is one case. And the thing now, and this is just my opinion, is that we see now how much, let me go on and say it, because you know it's going to come before the end of the show. The thing is that we need each other, first of all, and we should be grasping a hold of that. We should be seeing now. We should really vividly see and literally see why we need one another out here. And like I say, this is just one case. And we can make it numerous cases, but it's up to us to stay on top of these wrongdoers. And that's what they are. That's what they have been. That's what they will continue to be until we collectively come together and stay together to make this situation change, you know, to make this condition change. We have got to understand what is best for us. And then not only that, we've got to stand for it, and then we've got to implement what's best for us. And these are just my opinions. Like I say, what's best for us is coming together and staying together, because the longer that we can stay together, these types of circumstances, we can curb them. I'm not going to say they will stop, but I do agree that if we come together and stay together firm and strong in our stance, that we will be able to change minds, and not only that, change the condition. And that is what is needed right now. And like I say, we can stop worrying about these Ahmaud Arbery cases, the so many cases that we have witnessed over the years that have, hold on just one second. Okay, I am back. I wanted to change my location. But I am back. And like I was saying, there is definitely a need for us to remain together on circumstances such as these, because the longer that we remain together, the more of an ability that we have to change the condition as a whole. And honestly, that should be the driving force, if no other reason. Just giving ourselves the ability to have some sort of control of our fate. And not only that, just to be able to give our children, grandchildren, an opportunity at a fair chance and a chance to live. You know, because I've said this numerous times, if we were not so self-centered and self-serving, a lot of these deaths would cease. But we're not concerned about our fellow man. We don't really show the empathy and compassion to our brothers and sisters that we should. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect in doing it, but part of knowing is recognizing. And I have room for change and betterment in those areas as well. I really see this verdict as somewhat, I'm not going to say this is a catalyst moment, but I see this moment as a strong stepping stone, much like the George Floyd case. I really wanted to see us keep driving and keep pushing and keep forcing this system to look at themselves, because see, that's where we're failing, and that's why they keep doing how they do and what they do, because we don't force them to truly take accountability for their actions. We don't make them look at themselves for what and who it is that they truly are, which is not the best person or peoples in this world. Just that racist element should be and could be extinguished if, you know, we had truly educated and empathetic adults within all homes, because racism and hatred is a learned trait, is a learned characteristic. You can put 10 children on a playground, and as long as nobody tells one of those children, don't play with that person, because those children will play for hours on end. But enter ignorance and grown adults that have their own personal agendas and personal attacks and personal reasons where they taint the minds of innocents. And we're seeing that more and more now as well because of social media. This particular case, like I say, to me was open and shut. A waste payer's money, the lies that they tried to spin, those little white lies are kind of running scarce now. And like I say, I think this could really be another moment that we should really grasp onto and try to push our agenda forward. And if nothing else, just stand strong and firm on something, as opposed to always giving the benefit of the doubt and doing and accepting things that are not beneficial for us collectively as a whole. And that's really, you know, bottom line for me. Is just trying to producing something that will work for us for the long run and not just benefit us for a short time. And this injustice system needs to be broken down, torn down, and rebuilt from the bottom up. From the courthouses to the White Houses. And we need people in there who truly can see with an eye of fair ruling. Unlike the judge and that jury in the Rittenhouse case, and I'm not going to touch on that much. But I'll just say this about the Rittenhouse case, you know, because people are saying that it wasn't racist. It was racist because those armed men went there in hopes of finding, I believe it was Jacob Blake, the young man's name, who was shot in the back 7 times by the police officer there in Kenosha that caused that particular uprising, that particular situation. But those armed vigilantes, those armed white nationalists, those armed white Trumpers went there with the intent and hopes of finding, in the wake of a black man being shot, they wanted to find, they were hoping that there were going to be more black bodies there. I don't care how you look at it, how you try to dress it up. That's why they went, because they were in hopes of there being more black bodies for them to drop. Just so happened, it was the opposite. And, you know, I've heard a lot of brothers and sisters say, you know, that's white on white crime. I ain't got nothing to do with that. But in all reality, the underlying reason that they were there so heavily armed is because they wanted it to be a lot of black people there so that they could kill them. And you see this 17-year-old boy, because my whole thing with that is, and I'm done with it, but my whole thing with that touches on what I just said. See, hatred is taught. His mother drove him there with a gun to kill people. See, that's hatred. I don't know. I know that we've got an issue, but I don't know any black mother or father, parent, period, and I don't care how despicable that they are deemed. I don't know. I've never heard of any black parent driving their armed teenager to an event to kill people, to protect something that doesn't even belong to you. But just to really what it was, I want to my white privilege. I want you all to witness my white privilege. And that's what we witnessed. That whole trial was about his young white privilege and ability to kill and get away with it. And like I, a couple of weeks ago when I spoke about these cases before they, when they were just getting started, and I talked about Khalif Browder, you know, the young man that supposedly stole a backpack that ended up on Rikers Island for 3 years, almost 2 of those years spent in damn solitary confinement. Long story short, he gets out, he kills himself. And in this Rittenhouse case, we have the judge defending him harder than his defense team, not allowing the victims to be called victims, but they can be called rioters and looters. Dropping the removing the gun charge off the table, he did everything in his power to help that kid, as they referred to him, get free. And we saw so many numerous occasions how our young men are treated, just like in the Ahmaud Arbery case. So similar to the Trayvon Martin case, and I posed this question and never really got responses, which I never look to get responses because racism is just an ignorance, and people don't really have good answers for racism. There are none, but you see people who are supportive but won't speak up, won't speak out. I mean, and my thing is, hey, if you're for it, stand on it, represent it, but you stay away from the limelight, you stay away, you're lurking dark in the shadows, you know, like Trumpers do, and you are cowardly. Yeah, I said it. And really, like, I mean, just purposeless. And the rhetoric, the baseless rhetoric that you spew. I am glad, like I say, that the situation happened the way it did. And then, too, sometimes I think to myself that this system is starting to see that the tide is turning. Things are changing. And what we need to do is start to recognize that the tide is turning and things are changing. And like I was at the barbershop yesterday, and I was telling these brothers, you know, right now is the time that we need to start rowing the boat and make sure that it stays on course. Now is the time for us to start standing up for what's right and simply doing what's right for the generation behind us, for our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. The inability for us to unify is the most detrimental thing that we can do to one another and our future generations. And see, when we are not actively trying to unite, well, the system doesn't have much to do with why we don't accomplish things and why we don't move forward and progress as a whole. Because, yeah, we always complain about, yeah, there's not enough of us doing this. There's not enough of us doing that. And truth be told, that's a fact. But what are we doing to make and put more of us in positions where we can become more beneficial, where we can become more self-sufficient, self-reliant? Because that is another area that we need to strengthen. We don't have anything. We don't have many. I mean, I can't think of any grocery stores that are black owned. We don't have any of our own schools. We don't have many. Well, we've got some schools, but not enough. We should have our own, and this is just my thinking. We need our own schools within our community, so when they need summer schooling, we have the resources to summer school them. We're providing a resource that will take our children to the next level and stop always relying on this system. This system has shown us time and time again, it spits in our face, slaps us on both cheeks, drags us down 12 flights of stairs, and sits us back up in a chair, combs our hair, and gives us what we need to restart, but the abuse has already occurred. You know, we go through hell and high water to get nothing. And then we doubt and we doubt one another, and we backbite with one another, not giving ourselves the benefit of the doubt, not using what we have to work for us. And that's the biggest, that's one of the biggest problems. Another one that I see, we complain about what we don't have, but we keep doing the same thing that has us with nothing. And that's problematic. Because, I mean, it's kind of like spitting in the wind. You know, you have the ability, you have the knowledge, the intellect. We have everything that we need, and we still haven't put that puzzle together. And we're watching others do what we should have been doing, what our ancestors were doing so well, which was building, you know, recognizing their need for each other, and not only recognizing the need, utilizing one another in areas that were helpful and beneficial to the collective, to the whole, and not just to one or two or three people. And like I say, we have gotten so selfish in our ways that we don't think about anything outside our walls, unfortunately. And like I say, we've got to work on self first, and restarting, unlearning and relearning, and restarting a true grassroots movement where it's about us, nobody but us. We're not ashamed to stand on that, and we can't continue to be shamed for doing what is right and doing what is best for us as a whole. We're the only race that will let people shame us into doing nothing for ourselves. You know, and then they ask us, oh, well, do you forgive them? Do you forgive them? I just can't keep forgiving people who don't feel as if they need to make amends, act as if they don't have to apologize. And I just can't rock with, and I have no forgiveness for people who, you know, have never admitted their wrongdoing. And if there have ever been a people who have ducked and dodged their wrongdoings, it's been these people who have effectively given us their evil identity and claimed our righteous identity. But like I say, I'm pleased with the Ahmaud Arbery verdict. That one definitely a shocker, because I mean, I just thought about the Zimmerman trial and that big debacle and all of the other trials that have been so lenient with lynch mobs in this country. And that's what those McMichaels and Williams were. That was a lynch mob. And no, they didn't take them and hang them, but they hunted him down and shot him like an animal. They lynched him. They took his life. And, you know, even with the verdict going in favor of the deceased, it still doesn't bring him back. And I'm sure that the family is happy with the verdict or content with the verdict, but they have no choice but to be. That's all they have left. They can't hug their son anymore. They you know, physically he's gone. He's no longer anything more that he'll ever be to them now. It's just a memory, because you have these jackasses out here who feel as if, because they are white, they're privileged. And I was going to make a point a minute ago, because I asked this question a few weeks ago. What is it that that won't allow y'all to just leave us alone when you see us doing something that you feel like is not right? You just gotta intervene. Your intervention is not needed in everything. You don't know it all. You're not the moral compass of anything except evil. Yeah, I said that too. But your inability to just leave us alone. We can't be sitting in our home playing video games. We can't do nothing without one of you all wanting us to obey you. Do as I say. I'm white, you're black. That superior, inferior mess. And I'll just let you all in on a secret. I mean, it's 2021, and nobody that I know is fearful or obedient to no master. And as far as I know, ain't no masters walking around here, but some of you still have that I'm your master mentality. And that's part of that's another part of the problem in this country. You can't always run things. You know, somebody else is going to have a turn to sit where you are sitting now. And our turn is quickly passing. And I really, like I say, hope that we can finally bring ourselves together, and we can finally stay together on something that will be beneficial to us. I mean, the tide is turning. It's something in the universe that's working in our favor, and we need to do our best to keep whatever this is, whatever momentum that we can gather, we got to build on that. You know, we are, like I say, we're at the bottom of the totem pole, and we need each other more than ever, and we've got a lot more work to do than anybody else, because we're not even at a starting point. Things that are about to happen are going to happen whether we're ready or not. And a lot of us are not going to be ready. A lot of us are not paying attention to what's going on. And a lot of us are going to suffer because of. And I really, that's my biggest thing, is not having to go through any unnecessary suffering when we have the ability to make that suffering go away. When we have the ability to change our condition, and we hold it. We hold the ability to change our condition. We just are not utilizing it. And that is I don't know, disheartening as well, because life is about progression and, you know, growth and building and all of the things that entail that. And like I say, our power lies within each and every one of us. We all have something that we can contribute. We all have something that we are blessed with intellectually, spiritually. And all we have to do is bring that together and make it start working for us. It's so easily said, but never implemented. You know, and it's okay to talk about things and plan things, but there has to be that date of implementation where enough is enough. Let's start this change. Let's do what we need to do to build and rebuild our communities. Let's do what we need to do to bring more of our own teachers and schools into our neighborhoods, our own farmers and our own grocery markets, things that produce, things that are beneficial, things that we can actively use for survival. And we have got to get back to thinking in terms of survival. This is just one of those circumstances where I try to hammer in the importance of our unity. You know, and I just try to really drive that point home, because the longer that we refuse to work with one another, and the longer that we ignore the fact that we need each other, well, our condition is going to get worse and worse, and we're going to keep seeing the Ahmaud Arbery's. We're going to keep seeing the everything that they do to us. It's going to only get worse, because they already know that we're not going to have a plan of action. They already know that we are not going to collectively stand strong. And that's why I say it's all about the numbers. It's about all of us getting involved, about all of us being aware of the condition. And the condition is racism. The condition isn't going anywhere until we vaccinate it. If I can say it like that. So, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes we're right there and we're waiting on somebody to open the door, but we already have the key. We already have the key. We just scared to put it in the lock, you know. So let's start opening these doors. Let's start breaking down boundaries and barriers so that we can truly live in a somewhat just society. And not only that, we can also show our children how to fight intellectually, financially, and make things happen for them that will be beneficial for their offsprings and those behind them, because it's about building. And if we're not building, we're not owning. And that's my whole point. We don't own anything. We don't own anything. And that's what I want to see us get into that. The more we own, the more that we stay together, we can change things from the inside out. Then, like I say, we can start putting people in positions that truly will have our best needs in mind. Because right now, I mean, honestly, it's like and like I said, you know, it's nice that we had a guilty verdict, but honestly, that's just one case. You know, I think about Tamir Rice. I think about Trayvon Martin. Hell, I even go as far back as Emmett Till, you know, and the countless other young black males who were lynched in this system, you know. So, like I say, it's sad that life has to be lost just in order to be recognized. And I'm gonna let that one sink in, because that's the real tragedy. You know, I just can't be happy about a damn verdict when the life that was taken should have never been taken. And I mean, so is that really justice, you know? And then what is the justice? Where is the justice? You know, it's just sad that we live in a society that works for some and is so detrimental and damning for others. So, like I say, my thoughts and prayers are still with his mother, father, the family as a whole, because losing a child is something you never plan for, something you really never think about, I know from experience. So, yeah, my thoughts and my prayers are still with his family, because this is going to carry with them for years now. The what ifs, you know. Even in the verdict of guilt, it still doesn't replace the life that they took, senselessly took. Those are my thoughts and opinions, really, on the whole situation. There's really just not much left to say. It was so cut and dry. And like I say, they got what they deserved, in my opinion. The sentencing phase, I didn't really stick around. I don't even know if the sentencing, and I just logically thinking, stopped watching because I knew logically the judge was probably not sentencing them today. And I could be wrong. I meant to go back and look to see before I started the show. But to my knowledge, they have not been sentenced yet. And like I say, whatever the sentence is, it still doesn't replace the life that was taken. So, you know, it's kind of like a happy, glad, sad kind of moment. But, you know, we shouldn't have to deal with these types of moments at all. They shouldn't happen. Just shouldn't happen. And that's really, I just wanted to touch on that. I didn't get to do my show on Monday, and just wanted to kind of give my thoughts, opinions about this particular case. I was actually going to do the Queen's Table, in which I probably will do that on this upcoming Monday. I'm going to send out a few invites to some of the queens so that we can get that session in as well, and just like I did with the brothers on last Monday. But I do want to bring the sisters together as well, and then I would like to bring some of those brothers and sisters together on just a round table talk that we could all jump into and start working on the fixing. Start working on the healing that we need. I just got a text that says, which is not surprising to me either, the defense has already filed an appeal. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me either. That's just like with Derek Chauvin. And hell, before the judge could even sentence him, he'd already filed for an appeal. So that's another thing. You know, I refer to them as that, who kill like that are never truly remorseful. If they were, they do their damn time, set their ass down, do your time. But what do? No. They want free. You know, before they even get in the jail, they already filing for appeals, begging to get out, you know. And, oh, yeah, while I am on, I did hear that Geiger's second appeal was denied. I'm going to have to go in and verify that, but good. Because none of them should even have an opportunity for an appeal. And my thing is this, especially with these policemen, they should be held at a higher accountability than anybody. So anytime they do something that is against the law, it should be automatic for them. Straight automatic for any cop. And that's just, I'm sorry,
But yeah, for any cop that kills like that, yeah, should definitely be handled. And like I say, we in our inability to unite, it allows these kind of things to keep happening over and over and over and over again. I mean, I'm so ready for us to link up, stay linked up, and start changing our condition, because it's going to take us actively standing up and actively participating change and what direction we want this to go. So, yeah, I am just chunking that out there as well. But I hate to cut it short. I knew I probably wasn't going to do but about an hour show. I'm adjusting right now, I'll just say that. And I don't want to overdo a lot of things right now as well. But I do appreciate everybody who called in and listened online. I will be on Monday. Like I say, Monday, I'm really wanting to speak with the Queens, and I'm really I'll reach out this weekend again so that I can bring some knowledge from some of the sisters to Monday's show. But yes, I am going to close this one down. Like I said, I appreciate everybody that called in and everybody that listened online. I just wanted to kind of jump on here and give my opinion about what we all saw. Not really, like I say, the verdict that I was expecting. I was quite refreshed to see that the little town in Georgia got it right, which I think is a good thing. I will say in closing, you know, hey, let's put each other where we deserve to be. Let's, for once, you know, put ourselves first. Let's stop allowing this system to dictate how we feel about each other. You know, sometimes we criminalize one another harder and worse than this system does. And when are we going to take the time to fix one another? You know, to really truly be there for your brother, to really truly be there for your sister, to show them the same empathy that you show people who ain't got no love for you. You know, and we'll give that love and that attention to the wrong people, and our people are in dire need of that attention, that empathy, that love, that forgiveness, all of that. Our people need that by the buckets full. So that's all I wanted to say. That's really all I wanted to say on about that. And I'm going to close out like I always say, in closing, you know, let's plan, y'all. Let's organize, unify, all have a key. We all have a key. So I'm going to get off of here. Like I say, this has been the Panther Party Radio Network, and this has been The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I appreciate you all listening. I will be back on my regular day and time next week, Monday night. with hopefully with the Queens on board. And we're going to tackle a few things if this goes right. So as always, I appreciate you all, Nigeria, Germany, Canada, the States. I appreciate my online listeners. And like I say, love y'all. My Activate Radio listeners in Boston, love you all. Hope everybody has a good holiday. Spend some time with your family. That's what it's all about. I'm out. Peace.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, 'cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, 'cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Plan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty. Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, 'cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, 'cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, 'cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, 'cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.